Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. So we're doing something a little different over the next few weeks called the Ask a Counselor series. As you know, I recently started the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, a team of Christian counselors who are offering one-on-one online sessions to meet with you and help you work through any personal or relationship issue you might be facing. It's an amazing team of counselors that I get the privilege of leading, and I wanted you to get to know them the way that I've been getting to know them. I've asked the counselors on my team to come and join me on the podcast over the next few weeks to help me answer your questions for this Ask the Counselor series, and I can't wait for you to get to know them. To book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing today. Hi, Deborah and counselors. My name is Becky from Minneapolis, and my question is this. Is there such a thing as the one person that you're supposed to marry? Is there one person out there for you to marry? Becky, that was a really good question. And I'm looking forward to diving into the subject matter today with one of the counselors on my team at the Deborah Falada Counselors Network. John, it's so good to have you joining me on the podcast today.
It's great to be here with you, Deborah.
So the topic of the one, right? This is a debatable subject. Like there's people who believe different things on different sides of the fence. People that I respect and admire, that some would tell you there is just one person out there. Some would tell you there isn't just one person out there. So I brought you in because I know you have a personal opinion about this and I kind of want to pick your brain about it. What would you say with regards to, is there one person out there for you to marry, and how did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah, definitely. I think I used to think there was when I was 18 years old and I was going to a Christian college. You know, that was a widely held belief by a lot of the students, and for me, it was just a bit problematic. And so, just kind of my life experience, and you know, just came to a conclusion that, you know, people have free will and you know, a professor that I had in school kind of put it best, you know, you can choose to move to Japan or South America tomorrow and you can find someone that you're compatible with. What's important is choosing wisely. And, you know, once you've chosen, marriage is work. And so it's just, you know, the most important thing is commitment at that point.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like it can be freeing for some people to hear that. Mm-hmm. And for other people, depending on their personality and trauma history and background, it can be discouraging. Like, wait, I have to choose? Like, God doesn't have just one person for me. This feels like so much pressure. It's interesting because my husband and I even come from different angles. And we're married, but John would tell you, my husband's also named John, for those of you listening who don't know that. My husband would tell you that there is one person, and that person was me for him, and God had it ordained. And we're, you know, there's so many things in our story that are like mind-blowing. Just, you know, I have never shared all of the details about our relationship, but even in our history, there was a crazy intersection where my grandfather, who was a traveling evangelist, met John's grandmother, who was at the time dying of cancer, and they met and they prayed for what he prayed over her. And it's like, wait a second, how is that even in our histories? Like, years down the line, we would eventually meet. It feels so God, but it's so he kind of comes from the perspective of, yeah, God does have one person out there for you. Whereas I come from the perspective of, I think you have to make a wise choice. And the reason I came to that belief myself is also in college. You know, I was wrestling with this subject. I remember a professor challenged us and he was like, if there's only one person out there for you, let's say Susie's supposed to marry Steve, but Susie is outside of God's will and she's not living her best life and she accidentally marries Tom. Well, then is Steve's life destroyed because Susie made a, you know, and then there's a ripple, there's a domino effect. If you marry the wrong person, because we have free will and we do wrong things, does that then affect everybody else who is supposed to get, like all the matches are then misaligned? And that kind of got me thinking like, that is a good point. Is it possible to marry Steve or Tim or John or Mike? And God gives me the freedom to choose, and I have to choose a match that's good for my life. And I kind of land there. Like, we have a responsibility to choose somebody who's healthy. We have a responsibility to get healthy, just like we have the freedom in other choices. But I can't deny that there is some of God's sovereignty mixed into it. And I totally don't, absolutely, I totally don't understand it, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think is the harm? What, as a counselor, what have you seen as the harmful beliefs that are overflowing from the idea that there is just one person out there? How can that be harmful or paralyzing, or how have you kind of seen that hinder people instead of help people?
Yeah, that's a great question. At least for, you know, my generation, I think, and, you know, a lot of others as well. I think, you know, purity culture kind of got mixed in with the concept a bit, and the goal became, you know, you have to abstain from the sexual acts and you know, be perfect for that future spouse, and also under God's eyes. And that's just so far removed from what scripture says. You know, our worth isn't from, hey, what do we abstain from, and what sins are we able to kind of keep, you know, keep ourselves pure from? It's about being that we're children of God, and that's where our worth comes from, not from how perfect we can be for this one person. Right. And so I think that's kind of one of the dangers of that mindset.
Yeah, it's not I have to be perfect to earn the one, but rather I want to live for the one, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And through that, the overflow of that is a holy, righteous, and healthy life. The overflow of that is choosing to save sex for marriage because I want to honor God. I want to honor his design for marriage. I want to honor his design for sex. But we can get that backwards. It's almost like we have to earn the right to the one. We have to earn the right to get this gift, versus the opposite is like God's already given it to us. He loves us. He wants us to have what's good and pleasing and righteous. I also think where I have seen it trip people up a little bit, some people get married and they come to me in counseling after things have been revealed. Because you know marriage, it only takes a couple days or weeks or months or years for you to realize this person is not perfect. They have issues. They have baggage. They have hurt me at some point. And, you know, it's just human nature. We're flawed human beings. And we have this like unrealistic Hollywood / biblical like view of what it's like a biblical chick flick is what we imagine marriage is going to be like. And when it's not like that, when there's problems or sin, I've heard people then say, I must have chosen the wrong one. This is not the one for me. I chose the wrong one. And so then they're like ready to jump ship because they're convinced that they chose the wrong one, rather than the healthier idea of I have to create the right relationship. I have to create the one. I have to create a healthy God-honoring marriage. I have to see my role in it. They have to see their role in it. We have to together create a healthy marriage. And I think sometimes when you're just like looking for the one, you're not necessarily assessing how healthy you are, how healthy they are, because you're just trying to find that one. Or some people are looking for a sign from heaven, a signal, a feeling. One girl asked me once after an event I spoke at, did you receive confirmation that John was the right man for you when you met him? And I'm like, what is she talking about? Confirmation? Like, I don't come from that kind of culture. I didn't even know what she was saying.
Right.
And then I realized she meant like a sign from God to marry him because he's the one. Nope. I did not get a sign.
Yeah.
I did not get confirmation. I did not get a signal from heaven. But what I did get was consistency in his character, in his actions, in his health, in our interactions, consistency in our communication. To me, it wasn't a one-time confirmation that this was the one. It was these tiny little daily choices that I was seeing played out that confirmed to me, yeah, this is going to be a good choice. Right? Do you see people who are out there just kind of looking for the one and maybe not assessing all of the other important things? And if so, what are some of the important things that come to the surface that you think people should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I think you touched on it, just consistency. I think, you know, when you're trying to get these confirmations and looking for kind of a quick answer to, hey, is this the right person for me? I think you're not allowing yourself to get to know this person and look for good qualities, you know, and possible things that aren't so right and possible red flags. But things that people should be looking for, I think, is making sure they have the same faith as you and they're consistent in that faith, and someone that's kind to you and respects you, someone that's honest, is able to show empathy and is able to forgive.
Yeah. It's funny because sometimes those things are like lower on our priority list. Like when you're looking at their Tinder profile, it's like empathy, forgiveness, kindness, character. I always say we have
on there.
Yeah. We have to choose character over chemistry. I'm not saying you shouldn't have chemistry, but you should never allow a lack of character to win out because there's chemistry there. Oftentimes we choose chemistry over character. And I think that's a big, ginormous mistake. And it leads you down the wrong road. And here's the thing. Sometimes people mistakenly believe that the chemistry is a sign that that person is the one. I feel in love. I feel this strong, powerful connection to this person. That must be it. And sometimes people even assume that you're going to feel like people assume that you're going to just know when you meet the one. Mm-hmm. I can affirm that that's not true. Because when I met my husband, I did not think he was the one. There was nothing that was in me that was like, this is the one. But over time, that realization started coming to the surface of my mind. Like, wow, this could be a really good match for me. That's kind of how it developed for me. And what people don't realize is sometimes when you feel that strong feeling, what people don't know is that sometimes it's their dysfunction that leads them to that strong chemistry, that chemical reaction, because my dysfunction is reacting to your dysfunction and it's creating a explosion of chemistry. That doesn't mean it's the one, right? That could actually be somebody who's unhealthy, because sometimes we're drawn to people out of our dysfunction rather than out of our health, right? Give me an example, John, as a counselor, where somebody might be drawn to somebody, for example, who's emotionally unavailable, and why that might be the case. Like, talk us through how we can often be attracted to people, drawn to people, have chemistry with people who are actually not good for us.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, when we grow up in, you know, our family of origin and, you know, there's dysfunction and there's, you know, trauma, and then we meet someone as adults, you know, there could be a familiarity in what that feels like. And it's obviously not conscious. You're not saying, hey, this guy reminds me of my father or mother that was abusive, or, you know, that there was some sort of issue growing up. It's not intentional, but it can definitely become a pattern. And then, you know, people come in and they've been in several relationships where, you know, that there's real issues, and they're not sure why they keep choosing that type of person.
Right. So it's not our health that's drawing us. It's not God's confirmation that's mm-hmm. drawing us. It's actually our own issues, our own trauma, our own dysfunction replaying. Absolutely. The pattern. For those of you who haven't listened to the podcast episode called Reset from Toxic Relationships with Felix, he talked through how he was going into one toxic relationship after another toxic relationship. And yeah, there was chemistry, but it's because his past dysfunction of always wanting to fix things, because he was the fixer in his chaotic family.
Right.
Then started overflowing in his romantic relationships, where he was drawn to women who needed fixing, who needed help, who needed somebody to help them manage the chaos. And because he was a fixer, fixers are often drawn to people that need fixing. They're often drawn to the chaos like a bug to a light. And so, yeah, there was chemistry and a chemical reaction and attraction, and it just felt right. But that feeling is not coming from a place of health. And that's why I think in the pursuit of finding, quote unquote, the one, there is such an important place to becoming the one, becoming mm-hmm. the right person, becoming healthy, becoming a good match, dealing with your past trauma, going to counseling, understanding if there's anything in your history that would draw you to somebody unhealthy, looking at the past patterns in your relationship and seeing, what do they tell me about myself? Right. What do they tell me about the type of person that I am naturally drawn to? Is that healthy or unhealthy? Tell us a little bit about some of the work that you do in helping mm-hmm. people become the best version of themselves and helping them become healthy standing alone.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. So a lot of times that really helps me see kind of things in a systemic way and looking at, you know, kind of all the parts of a person and seeing, you know, how, you know, their family dynamics growing up and trauma and different things, how they are connected, and how helping clients see that. And I think with, especially when someone's single, and that's something that they're struggling with, what's important is helping them be more content in that situation, and put the focus more on working on themselves and off the focus of, I need to find the one, I need to find this person that's going to make me complete, because they're complete as themselves. And, you know, God values them and has them in that situation and wants them to be content. Just, he wants us to be content in every situation. So I think the important thing is to not, you know, make choices out of desperation and really work on their emotional health. You know, that this time of waiting can be really productive and, you know, helps us to be able to rely on God during that time, rather than comparing ourselves to other people or, you know, plenty of people get married later in life, you know, for the first time. And there's nothing wrong with that. And yeah. They can be content every step of the way.
Yeah, because when you feel desperate, you date desperate. Mm-hmm. It spills over into your relationships. And it's interesting how you talked about completing me. Yeah, it's a Hollywood concept that has spilled into the church, you know? And yes, for those of you who absolutely. Don't know, the concept of soulmate and somebody that completes you is not biblical. It's actually rooted in Greek mythology, where you know, there was these two gods that were separated and they had to find each other again, and all of this, you know, these things that are not biblical, but we've kind of taken some of those concepts into the church and we've Christianized them. I feel like God wants me to find somebody to complete me, my other half. That's not actually biblical. What's biblical is in Christ, we are whole standing alone. Yes. And we find somebody else who's complete, and we come together to do God's work and to do it better together, to live life better together. And if it's not better when we're together, then we probably shouldn't be together, you know? And so I think sometimes for those of you out there who believe in the one, I want you to challenge yourself and make sure that you are getting all of the other parts right, getting healthy, standing alone, working on yourself, finding somebody who's a good match for your life.
Absolutely. You know, because my wife, like your husband, also believes, you know, there's just kind of one person out there for you. And I think
they're the romantics in the relationship,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess so. and I think that's also, it has to be in a healthy way.
Yes. You know, it's still a valid perspective. If it comforts you to believe that, if that's what God's speaking to your heart, believe that. But here's the thing, whether you believe there is just one person or not. So John would say, yeah, God had you for me, but he still had to go through the same process to know that I was, quote unquote, the one. Whereas I had to go through the same process to know that he was the person that I thought was going to be the best match for my life. And that process was a healthy experience of dating, getting to know myself, looking for signs and signals, working on our communication. John had to go through that same process, all the seasons of a relationship. I have a book called Love in Every Season, and I talk about the four seasons of every healthy relationship. Every healthy relationship has to go through these four seasons, and each season shows you what the relationship is made of. Each season helps make or break the relationship, starting with spring, summer, fall, and winter. And each season has something that we have to work on, and we got to get through the seasons to kind of make sure that this is the right match. So even though John would say, yes, there is one person out there for me, but I still have to go through the process of figuring out who that person is, not just choosing randomly. And I would say we have options, but we still have to choose a healthy person. So whether or not we believe that, we still have to go through the process of healthy dating and figuring out who that person is and making sure it's aligned with God's best for our life. So if you haven't read the book Love in Every Season and you're listening, put that on your reading list next, because I think it will really help you unpack some of those things that you should be looking for in the components of a healthy relationship versus a relationship that's not so healthy. So even after all these years of marriage, John, your wife still believes you're the one.
Yes, she does.
That is a good sign. You know, some people...
She didn't when we first met. Like, so we were just friends for like a year. And then it just kind of, then it was clear to
her. You became the one.
Yes.
What's interesting too is that I would say you and I both agree with this, John, is that once you say I do, they become the one.
Yes.
Like that is the one that you have chosen. That is the one that you're committing to. That is the one that you will become one with. And that's why healthy dating is so crucial, friends. And if you're out there and you have a history of poor dating relationships, book a session with John. Help him help you. Let him help you and talk you through the things that matter, talk you through your family history, help you find patterns and reasons that maybe you have been drawn to unhealthy relationships, and ways that you can begin to change the narrative of your story and begin to choose healthy relationships so that when the right relationship comes along, you can recognize it. And when the wrong ones come along, you can recognize them and you can begin to shift the pattern of the way that you do relationships.
Absolutely.
John, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation about the one.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for the work that you're doing for the network and your heart for healthy relationships and helping people heal. If you want to book a session with John, you can find him at DeborahFaleta.com/John, J-O-H-N. And you can book a session with him. He's one of the newer members of our team at the Deborah Faleta Counselors Network. He works with all kinds of things. John, what are some of your areas that you, some of your specialty areas besides dating, relationships, singleness, marriage? You said marriage and family is kind of your wheelhouse. Is there anything else that you would add to that list?
I would say working with trauma, working with young men, you know, that are struggling with self-confidence, struggling with their emotional health, family wounds. Those are some of the things that I feel very comfortable working with.
Wonderful. So guys, book a session with John and start the journey of healing from the inside out. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Faleta Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at DeborahFaleta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfaleta.com. I love connecting with you online. So find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Faleta and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Faleta and it was so great being together today and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.